yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. Going to happen, and you must live here on a higher frequency and at a higher altitude. Because the bigger planes fly at a higher altitude. And the eagle flies at a higher altitude than the little birds. And when you live here, I want to see you flying before manpower 2003. I want you to fly at an altitude that you have never flown before. And you, one of the things you must understand is the higher the altitude, the more oxygen you require. So I want to give you some keys that will release the necessary oxygen into your life, that the higher you climb, you can survive and you don't have to come down. Is anybody hearing me? Shout yes. I want to talk to you for some few minutes on the subject I entitled "By Revelation and by Personal Experience." I'm coming out with this revelation entitled "Dealing with the Patterns of the Bloodline." Say bloodline patterns. I can't hear you. Say the patterns of the bloodline. Now, every one of you seated here under the sound of my voice, there are specific patterns in your bloodline. Some of the patterns are good and some of them are evil and bad. But you got to know the weaknesses of your bloodline and the strengths of your bloodline to be able to deploy the strengths of your bloodline and to be able to disengage yourself from the effects of the negative patterns of the bloodline. We want to begin with the Abrahamic family. The Abrahamic family. If you please turn your Bibles with me, I'm going to read quite some few scriptures because I want to give you some weapons and keys that you can use on the enemy. When the enemy comes at you, you don't fight the enemy with emotions. You fight the enemy with keys. You fight the enemy with weapons. Amen. You may stand on your feet as the tradition of our bishop is. Hallelujah. These are good things to follow after. Genesis, the 12th chapter of Genesis, reading from the 11th verse of the 12th chapter of Genesis, reading from the 11th verse to the 13th verse. And it came to pass, when he was close in entering Egypt, that he said to Sarah his wife, "Indeed, I know that thou art a fair and a beautiful woman to look upon." Verse 12. "Therefore, it will be or happen that when the Egyptians shall see you, they will say that this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will keep you alive." Then he said, "I urge you to say, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and that I might live because of thee." Let us pray. Father, we position ourselves in the heavenlies, where we are seated with Christ above all principalities and powers and thrones and dominions, and things that are visible and things that are invincible. In the name of your Son Jesus, we deploy the breath of Jehovah and the unctions of eternity, that your manservant may function under the unctions that God giveth, and that I may speak as an oracle of Jehovah, and to every man and woman that hears the sound of my voice, I may live here impacted with a fresh unction and anointing of the Holy Ghost for the end time harvest and for the end time assignments and commissions. And so now, from the heavenlies where all authority and power and dominion proceeds from, I bind principalities and powers, and I break the hold of the heavenly host of darkness in the heavenly realm and their workers in the earth realm. I cut attack the communication lines and the power supply lines. And I said to the enemy, you are disallowed, forbidden, you are a trespasser, you are held in contempt of the word of the Lord. You will not touch, you will not misrepresent anything I say, you will not bring any misunderstanding, you will not bring a hedge into any relationship here. For God in the midst of his people is mighty. And therefore, take your hands off every man and every woman under the sound of my voice. And now I break the prison gates open, and I release prisoners in the realms of the spirit. I cut in asunder the brass of iron, and I destroy the gates of brass, and I call the captives to go free and to come free. That tonight and today something new will happen in this house. I want you to lift up your hands, everybody. There is a song in my heart. I'm not a singer. I'm going to try and sing it, and I want every one of you to remember this song the rest of your life. I'm going to try to sing it, and you can sing with me when you get it. Yesterday is gone, well, another day has come. Do something new in my life. Yesterday is gone, another day has come. Do something new in my life. Do something new in my life. Something new in my life. Something new in my life. Oh God, do something new. Something new in my life today. Everybody sing something new. Do something new in my power. Something new in our life. Something new in our life. You may be seated. That's the best I can do. I don't sing like others. I'm a preacher. But I need God to do something new in my life. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of old testimony. I need something fresh. David said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil, and I need some fresh oil upon my head. The Bible said, let not your head lack oil. I need some fresh oil. I got some issues. I got some challenges. I got some mountains to climb, and some giants to kill, and some rivers to cross, and some nations to go, and I need a fresh oil. Is anybody hearing me? Come on, shout yes. Before I get excited, I want you to appreciate what I'm about to say. Number one, please understand that salvation is not automatic. Jesus died and shed his blood for the entire world. But people are not going to get saved until they acknowledge Christ as their Lord and receive him as their Savior. It is not automatic to be born again if you don't acknowledge Christ and accept him and confess him, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. So even though the price is paid and we are released and emancipation is declared, we need to know by the preaching of the word to respond before we are saved. Number two, When you got born again, it was your spirit that was born again. It wasn't your soul and it wasn't your body that was born again. When the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And all things are passed away and all things becomes new. He's referring to your spirit and not your soul and not your body. Because if you don't get these foundations right, you can be saved, tongue speaking, Holy Ghost filled, and act crazy and don't understand what's going on with you. So I want to lay the foundation that salvation is in threefold. You were saved, what was saved? Your spirit. You are being saved. What is being saved? The soul. How is the soul being saved? By the renewing of the mind. The Bible said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. The transformation is not your spirit. The transformation here is dealing with the soul, the transformation of the soul. So the spirit is saved. God dwells in the spirit, but the soul needs transformation by the renewing of the mind. And when he talks about the renewing of the mind, it's dealing with the subconscious and the conscious. It means that you need the laser beam of the word of God to penetrate the subconscious and the conscious and to deprogram and decode every programming in the subconscious and send a new information through the subconscious to the conscious that you are a new breed and you don't do certain things you used to do before because Christ dwells in the inside of you. So your spirit can be born again and you can be a tongue talking, speaking, baptized, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized and blood washed and redeemed and heavily booked and confirmed and still act like you are unsaved because the soul remains unsaved and carnal until the mind is renewed. The soul is still the same. And that's why you must get every tape, every book, every material. Sometimes I listen to the bishop's tapes about 21 times. One tape. I have a tape on him right now. I've been listening to this tape for days, and I still can't get everything he's trying to say. Because the old man don't want to respond to new truths. The old man is used to the religious ways and the ways of the soul. And you need to keep on feeding the subconscious and allow the laser beams of God's word to decode and to penetrate and to enter the subconscious and bring the subconscious under divine editing. Divine editing. We need the memories to be divinely edited. We need some divine infusions into the subconscious, and we need the repairing, the restoration, and the healing of the soul. Because you see, when you got saved, every problem you had in your soul was still there, even though you were born again. It was like Ezra built the temple. The temple was built by Ezra. But the walls of Jerusalem was broken down and the gates were all bent down. The temple can be likened to the inner man, the spirit. And the soul can be likened to the walls of Jerusalem that was broken. The temple is built, but the walls are broken down. The spirit is born again, redeemed, but the soul is damaged. And so you need a repairing of the soul and a healing of the soul and a restoration of the soul by the renewing of the mind and a training of the soul by the word and the spirit. So you understand that you are not a soul, you are not a body, but you are a spirit. You live in a body and you have a soul. So you must learn how to train your soul by your spirit through the renewing of your mind. So please understand that salvation is in three folds. You were saved, you are being saved by the renewing of your mind. The soul is being saved. The body shall be saved when Jesus comes again. So the last thing that is going to be saved is this body. But the first thing that is saved when you got born again is your spirit. The second thing and the next thing that is being saved by personal discipline and efforts and an attitude and inner tenacity and spiritual intensity and commitment and devotion to the word of God is the soul. So understand that, because I'm going to say some very serious things to help you. Now let's examine the Abrahamic family. In Genesis, the 12th chapter we just read, talks about the fact that Abraham, the father of faith, went into Egypt. And the Bible makes it very clear that Abraham did lie and said that Sarah was the sister and not the wife for two reasons. Number one, she was fair. Please keep the word fair in your mind. She was fair. Two, beautiful. Now, number two, he said, she's my sister because she was fair, beautiful. And he said that because he was afraid. So Abraham, the father of faith, feared. He lied and he was afraid. Okay? Come with me to Genesis 26 and verse 7. Genesis 26 and verse 7. I want to lay some foundations before we begin to deal with some issues here right now. Genesis 26 and verse 7. Kibi, if you are there, just read with me fast, because I gotta go, I gotta work this thing well.
And the man of the place asked him of his wife.
Mm-hmm. And he said, she's my sister. For he feared to say, she's my wife. Least said he, the man of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon.
Now, I want you to look at me right now. I'm going to talk to you plain as men. Now, you must understand that at the time that Abraham married Sarah, Isaac was not born. Number one. Number two, when Abraham lied because the wife was fair and he was afraid, Isaac was not there. Now, Isaac comes on the scene. Isaac did not even choose the woman he married. The woman he married was chosen for him. But the guy who went to bring the wife that Isaac married saw two sisters, but somehow he was influenced by the DNA of that bloodline to go for a woman that was fair and look exactly like the mother of Isaac. And the Bible said when he brought Rebekah and Isaac saw Rebekah, he loved her and he was comforted. So men, you are not going to be comforted unless you love the woman. The woman only gives you comfort when you love her. And the Bible said he loved her and he was comforted. But understand something here. The same thing the father faced and went through was the same thing the son faced and went through. Now when the father lied and he was afraid of death, the son was not there, but the son found himself in the same situation where he was afraid and he had to lie because of the same thing his father was afraid for and his father lied for. Same thing. Everybody say, like father, like son. I'm going to establish something here, because I know some men here like me, because I never knew my father until I was 18 years old. That was the first time I saw my dad. And I didn't like my father. I hated my father because he didn't take care of me for those 18 years. And mama had poisoned me about him, so I hated him. And the Lord said to me when I got saved, he said, son, what you hate, you become. But what you forgive, you are released from. So the Lord said, son, if you don't forgive him and stop hating him, you will become exactly like him and you will do the same thing he did, because what you hate, you become. And what you forgive, you are released from. And there are men here who hate your father. And somehow, unconsciously, you are acting just like him. You are looking just like him. You are behaving just like him. And you are doing the very things you hate him for. And you don't even know why you are doing that, because you are not close with him. But blood don't change. DNA don't change. And whatever was in your subconscious and in your DNA before you were born, even though you don't know your father, you are still being influenced by stuff in the DNA and stuff in the subconscious. And when you got born again, your DNA did not change because you got born again. And the stuff in your subconscious mind did not change because you got born again.
Now, hear me. Abraham's bloodline were attracted to fair women. The old man was attracted to a fair woman. The son was also attracted to a fair woman. It means that it doesn't matter how good any woman is, if you are not the kind that the men of that bloodline are attracted to, it doesn't matter how much you try, they will never like you and they will never love you. And that's why a lot of men marry under some strange circumstances, women they did not love and women they weren't attracted to, but somehow they were shut up by some circumstances beyond their control, and they married a woman that was not the kind and the type that the men of their bloodline loves and are attracted to. So it doesn't matter how much the woman tries, how humble, how Holy Ghost filled she is, how loving, how much she fears God, it doesn't matter what she does, she can never please you because she's not the kind and the type. She doesn't have in her DNA that unction and that thing that makes men of your bloodline fall for women of that kind. I'll prove it to you. Turn your Bibles with me. Look at Genesis 27. Genesis 27 and verse 36. Okay? Genesis 27 and verse 36. Are you there? Okay, keep it quickly.
And come near me. Genesis 27 verse 36. And he said, is he rightly not named Jacob? For he had supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing.
I want you to look at me right now. I want to establish something. The grandfather lied, the son lied, and the great grandson also lied. First generation lied, second generation lied, third generation was not just a liar but was a schemer, and at this time has become an arm robber, robbing his brother of his birthright. Now what you must understand about some of the things I'm about to say is, the Bible said any branch that bears fruit I prune it so it might bear more fruit. Now this is where the danger is, and this is why you must get this message before you go home. Hear me out. Anything that you suppress and you prune by discipline, but you don't kill the seed or lay the axe to the root, it will rise up stronger in the next generation and destroy the next generation. So we must stop trying to suppress things in the bloodline through discipline and rather kill it. Because if you don't kill it, it will rise up. If you suppress it, it will rise up in the blood in the next generation to destroy the next generation. So suppressing it is not the key. Discipline is not the key. You just got to kill this thing. You must lay the axe to the root and uproot it. Because what you don't, the enemy you don't kill in your time will live and fight your children. I'll explain to you. Let's go on. Jacob now became a big time liar. You must understand that. The sons of Jacob also, Jacob lied to his father, scheme. I won't go into the depths of that because the bishop gave us such an awesome, outstanding exposition about Jacob, heavy duty stuff. So I wouldn't touch it. I said to somebody the other day, I said, nobody is able to bring the word home like Bishop Thomas D. Jakes. And I said, it don't matter how anointed you are, you just got to understand that God is just giving it to him and he got it. Come on, church. The man can sleep and wake out of sleep and preach you from hell to heaven. my God, what a blessing we have. Now, hear me. The sons of Jacob also lied to Jacob. He lied to his father. Skim took his brother's birthright. Then his sons lied to him. All of them lied to him. When it came to Joseph, they sold him into slavery and told the father that Joseph is dead. They lied to him, deceived him, heavy duty. And the thing was in the blood. Somebody say the blood. There was a pattern. There was a pattern that this bloodline was following. Now, it came to Jacob. Jacob had opportunity to marry two sisters. And he chose a particular one who was fair, just like the mother. He wasn't attracted to Leah because Leah was not fair. I prove it to you. Come with me. Look at Genesis 29 and the 11th verse. Genesis 29 and the 11th verse.
Genesis 29 and 11.
Genesis 29. Let me read the 11th verse and then you get ready for the 17th verse. Look at Genesis 29, the 11th verse. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. Look at me. I'll show you something why the guy wept. He had run away from home and he was very close to mama because mama knew some things that his father didn't know. And so when it was time for the birthright to be released, the mother said, son, when you were in my womb, you and your brother began to wrestle in the womb. The two of you could not stay together. And there was a war that began between you and brother over the birthright in my womb. And when I went to God, God told me the youngest would take the blessing and not the eldest. Now your father didn't hear what I heard. And if I don't do something to make it happen, your father is going to give the blessing to the wrong person. Women know things fathers don't know. I'm not going to go into the details, but hear me. Jacob was very close to the mother. And at this time, he had left home for a long time. And he didn't know when he would be meeting the mother again. So when he met Rebecca, she looked just like the mother. The Bible says she was fair. I'll prove it to you, fair, just like the mother. So when he kissed her, something, there was a transfusion that went into his DNA, activated memories through the emotions and the subconscious, and he lifted up his voice and wept. And the reason was because she reminded him of mama. And a lot of men marry their mother. You gotta look like mama. You got to cook like mama. You gotta be like mama. You gotta do things the way mama did it. You have to act like mama. You gotta talk like mama. You gotta dress like mama. You gotta smell like mama. If you don't smell like mama, cook like mama, act like mama, you are a problem. They'll never love you. And if you are not like mama, mama will not also approve of you. Because mama never approved of Leah, but mama approved of Rachel. Because you see, all the time Jacob married Leah, mama never sent help to Leah. But when Jacob married Rachel, mama sent her maid, who served there for many years, to go help Rachel. Man, I wish I had time to work this thing, but listen. Sit down. Sit down. Let's work this thing. Look at Genesis 29 and the 17th verse. Genesis 29 and the 17th verse.
Genesis 29, 17. Leah was tender-eyed.
Leah was what? Tender-eyed. Go ahead.
But Rachel was beautiful and well-favored.
The word beautiful in the Hebrew also means fair. Now, Leah was not fair, but Rachel was fair. There are men sitting here, you like a type and a kind of women. And it doesn't matter how anointed you are. and how good a sister is, if she is not built in that shape or form. You see, the Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and some are fearful and some are wonderfully made, and some are fearfully made, and some of the brothers, they like the fearfully made and some like the wonderfully made. You didn't hear what I say. The women don't look a particular way and they are not built in a particular shape. It doesn't matter what God says and what happened, you will not go for that woman because it's not the kind that the men of your bloodline are attracted to. This is the reason for extramarital affairs. When Bishop said, you can do something, but you are not it. You do something, you did something, but you know that is not you. It means that there is something in the subconscious that influences your action that the conscious is not in control of. So you are married, but it's not the kind and the type that the men of your bloodline are attracted to. So you see another one. You see, Jacob married Leah in the night. So he didn't know what he married. A lot of men didn't know what they married till they married. You married in darkness. At the time you married, you didn't have light, you didn't have revelation. You married for where you were, you didn't marry for where you were going. So even though you are married, you are looking outside the window of your house, looking on the internet and watching naked women, watching all kinds of movies on the television that you shouldn't watch, because you are trying to find out where Rachel is, because what you have in your bed is not Rachel, it's Leah. So even though you are married, you know that this is Leah, and so you are still searching and looking out for Rachel because you married in darkness. Nobody want to talk about it, but I will talk about it. Jacob didn't know what he married. So when he woke up in the morning and the light came on, he looked and realized that that wasn't Rachel, but that was Leah. A lot of you, when you marry, you didn't have light, you didn't have illumination. You married in the time of ignorance. So when you had light, you now became enlightened and realized that you married Leah and not Rachel, and you don't know what to do with Leah. You are legally bound to Leah, but your heart is with Rachel. God can turn that thing around. God can turn the situations around. It's a matter of deprogramming the subconscious and dealing with the actions of the DNA. And it can be supernaturally done. Let's go on. Let's look at some few scriptures. Let me lay my foundations quickly. Now, let me lay some foundations quickly. Somebody say, patterns of the bloodline. There were many interesting patterns in this bloodline. In this bloodline, the men lied and the wives also lied. Abraham lied, Isaac lied, Jacob lied. Number two, Abraham was attracted only to fair women, Isaac was attracted to only fair women, Jacob was attracted to only fair women. We move on. Now, Sarah lied. When she laughed in her heart and God heard it, she said, no, I didn't laugh. That was a lie. Then Rebecca made Jacob to lie. Then Rachel lied to the father. When she stole the father's idols, she lied and said, no, I didn't. then the next thing is, the men of this bloodline had another bloodline patterns. All their firstborn had serious challenges and difficulties and didn't make it with the inheritance. Number one, Abraham's firstborn, according to the flesh, did not make it with the inheritance. Isaac's firstborn didn't make it with the inheritance. The battle of the inheritance or the birthright began in the womb when it came to Jacob and Esau. And when Rebecca was pregnant, she felt this war inside of her. So she said, God, what's going on in me? And God said, there is a battle over the birthright between these two brothers in the womb. They are two nations and they are fighting over the birthright subconsciously. It was a subconscious thing. They didn't even know why they were doing it. It was in the blood. Say, in the blood. And in the case of Isaac, the firstborn didn't take it. It was the secondborn, the youngest. Now, if you move from Isaac and you come to Jacob, you realize that in the case of Jacob, his firstborn, Reuben, didn't take it. Reuben couldn't make it. Then when it came to Joseph, between Ephraim and Manasseh, the firstborn also didn't take it. There was a pattern in the bloodline that was against the firstborns. And I need to pray for our firstborns here, that there will be a rearrangement of whatever took place in the womb and whatever is in the bloodline and in the DNA that fights the firstborn. I want you to live here with an upper hand and a victory over that situation. If you're hearing me, shout yes. Now, the firstborn of Jesse, on the same bloodline, the line of Judah, didn't make it. It was the youngest, David. The firstborn of David, Absalom, didn't make it. It was Solomon, in the blood, say, in the blood. Okay, let's see some few things. There's another problem in this bloodline I'm going to prove to you that will blow your mind. This bloodline, the men attracted a particular kind of women, and all their wives were barren. They were all barren. Abraham married for 25 years, and Sarah was barren. Then his son, Isaac, married Rebekah, and she was barren for 20 years. Then Jacob married Leah and Rachel, and both were barren. And the team players in this particular bloodline all had extramarital affairs, the team players. Abraham was to receive the seed. He had an extramarital affairs because there was a problem with the marriage, with the wife. She couldn't have kids, and the wife manipulated him to have extramarital affairs. It means that the woman can vex you, press your button, trigger something in you. And if you are not careful, you can be pushed and vexed to go outside and fulfill that extramarital affairs blood pattern in your bloodline. So you've got to be careful when your wife pushes your button or triggers you, because it's a chain reaction. It can lead you into trouble. My wife used to trigger me and push my button. And when I came to Manpower last year, I was divorced. I was tired and she was tired, and she walked out on me. And listen, God said to me, Bishop spoke to me and Bishop counseled me and said, you got to think about the future, not just yourself. And Bishop said, you got to fight for your family, you got to fight for this marriage. I said, Bishop, I've worked it for 20 years. I'm tired. I can't take it anymore. He said, you are not under obligation to do what I'm telling you, but you pray, you go to God. So I went to God, and God said, son, I will forgive you if you remarry another woman, and I'll still use you and still anoint you and still prosper you, because I have determined to do that before you were born. But if you don't fight this thing and overcome it, your children will live to fight it in the next generation. So, I remarried my wife again. We're working it out. It hasn't been easy, but things are getting better. Because now I have a better understanding that this is not a battle between me and her, but this is a battle between my children and their future. Now hear me. I found out my father had 36 children. My father divorced, my grandfather divorced, my uncles divorced, my aunties divorced, all my 36 brothers and sisters, every one of them have divorced and remarried once, twice, or three times. So God said, this is a pattern in the bloodline. And if somebody doesn't deal with it, I will forgive you for the divorce. But then you can't overcome this thing. And God said, son, you can only have authority over that which you have overcome. So you cannot free your children from it if you don't overcome it. I want you to work with me quickly. I'm going to try and finish quickly. Now, look at me quickly. We all have flies to catch, so I need to work this thing fast. I want you to look at me right now. Let's look at some few scriptures right now. Let's look at Genesis. Genesis 38. And I want us to read Genesis 38, verse 27 to verse 29. Kibi.
And it came to pass in the time of her travail that, behold, twins were in her womb. And it came to pass when she travailed that one put out his hand, and the midwife took the bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, this came out first. And it came to pass as he drew back his hand that, behold, his brother came out, and she said, how hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore his name was called Perez.
Look at me. Judah, who was a good team player. You see, Jacob was a team player. Abraham was, Isaac wasn't. Isaac was to take the seed from the father and give it to Jacob, and Jacob produced the 12 tribes. So Isaac escaped the extramarital affairs, but he did not escape the pattern of the firstborn missing it. Get it here. Judah came out of Jacob. And Judah was supposed to produce for the land, for the life or the family of Israel, the kings of Israel. Because the Bible said the scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes. Now, for 10 generations, the tribe of Judah could not produce a king for the nation of Israel, because in Genesis 38, the father, Judah, committed incest. And because he committed incest, the Bible said in Deuteronomy 23, look at Deuteronomy 23 and verse 2. Deuteronomy 23 and verse 2. I want to lay foundations, because when you have the keys and the weapons and you begin to fire, demons are going to run out of these buildings. I'm telling you, every demon spirit that followed you here is going to leave you. When you go home, you are going home with your emancipation declared over your spirit, soul, and body. I came to declare your emancipation. Is anybody hearing me? Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 2. Read, please.
Deuteronomy 23 verse 2. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord.
Now, look at me. I'm about to close now. Hear me out quickly. Do you realize that The firstborn of Judah didn't make it. Because the firstborn brought his hand out and pulled it back. And the midwife put a kind of a scarlet robe, a red thread or something on the hand to identify him that this came first. When he pulled the hand back, the youngest, Perez, broke through and came out. Unconsciously, the pattern of the bloodline was working in the womb unconsciously. Some of you, you started fighting in your mother's womb. Some of you, the problems you have now started in your mother's womb. And I'm going to do something right now and shock you. There are a lot of situations I've dealt with gay brothers and with women that are lesbians. And when I began to deal with these things, these are people that I love and I preach to, and they call me father. And I said, God, how can I help them? And the Lord said to me the other day, he said, son, you got to go back to their mother's womb. I said, how do I do that? He said, you have to deploy my spirit to reverse and to rewind the tape of the subconscious and to divinely edit the information that was programmed into them in their mother's womb when they were being incubated. Take for instance, a mother have two girls. The husband wants a boy so bad. She wants to please the husband, so she desires to have a boy. She takes in a seed. She finds out that it is not a boy, but it's another girl. She resents the idea of having another girl and said, oh, I wish I had a boy and not a girl again. So the child in the womb received the information into the subconscious that I am not wanted here. It's a boy that is wanted and not a girl. I am not wanted. So the girl is born and she has the tendencies of a boy and begins to become aggressive and always want to work with boys and not girls because she sees herself in the subconscious as a boy and not a girl. I'm going to do something right now to shock a lot of you men. A mother wants a girl because she has three boys. She wants a girl. She takes in the seed. The doctor said, you are pregnant with another boy. She said, not again. I want a girl. Her desire and wishes is sent. The baby received the information because the state of emotion and the state of mind that the woman is in when she's pregnant is very important, because that state, the same emotions and everything she's going through is transferred to the child. This is proven scientifically. So the doctor said, you want a girl, but you have another boy. She said, not again. I want a girl. The information goes to the subconscious of the child. The child is born and the child begins to act like a girl even though he's a boy. He begins to have all kinds of ways of a woman, does things like a woman, eventually changes his sexual organs and becomes a what? A girl. Then the boy who was born changes his sexual organ and becomes a girl because the subconscious said and recorded in the mother's womb that you are supposed and you were supposed to be a girl. You were supposed to be a boy. And that's why they follow that pattern and they eventually end up changing their sexual organs. I dealt with a situation where a young man got saved, but before he got saved, he went and started doing a surgery to change his sexual organ to become a man, to become a woman, and he got saved. That provoked me to search, and I realized that one needs divine editing. Say divine editing. Divine editing. because it's in the subconscious, and it is scientifically proven that there is an aspect of the soul of man that is under the control of the subconscious and not under the control of the conscious. So you do things and you don't even know why you do them. And that's why Paul said, the evil that I do not want to do, that I do. And the good that I will to do, I do not. Now, I want you to look at me. The battle began in the womb. I want to do one thing right now. Sit down for 1 minute, look at one scripture, and I'm going to start praying and ministering to people right now. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew, the first chapter, reading from the first to the sixth verse, and we are close for now. Thank you, Jesus.
Matthew chapter 1, verse 3.
Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 to 6.
The book of the generation of Jesus Christ.
Listen carefully. I want you to listen carefully. Something is going to happen in this building right now. Something is about to happen in this building right now. There is something supernatural that is going to happen in this building right now. And if you're a brother and you are gay, I don't want you to be ashamed. If you want to be free, I know what to do. You can be loose within seconds. Within seconds, you can be free. It doesn't have to take years. Within seconds, it can be free. Because all you need is to ask God to rewind the tape and to bring it to the point where the desires went in and edit it out. Something is about to happen right now. Now, hear this scripture right now. Watch me. Watch me. Hear this scripture right now. Look at Matthew. Verse 1, from 1 to 6, read.
The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. And Jacob begat Judah and Judah. His brethren.
Now, everybody say Judah. Look at me. Remember, never forget that Judah was supposed to produce the king. The tribe of Judah had the prophetic mandate to produce kings for Israel. And for 10 generations, Judah could not produce a king because of the incest that was committed by their father. And it opened a door for the enemy. And what we are going to do today is to close all illegal entry points of the bloodline that was opened by your father and your mother, your great-grandfather and great-grandmother. You see, I want you to hear me. This is not just dealing with generational curses. It goes beyond generational curses. Because in the generational curse, you break the curse. But breaking the curse does not deal with the familiar spirit that is familiar with the bloodline. So even though the curse is broken, the familiar spirit begins to ensure and make sure that it continues to oppress and afflict that bloodline and police the pattern of the bloodline. So the door must be closed. Because unless the door is closed, Satan will always come in. And the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. So if it was your father, your grandfather, grandmother, whoever gave place to the devil in your bloodline, Satan is not going to give up that place in the bloodline until somebody fights with him and say, you are out and I'm closing the door. Now, start from Judah. Take your Bibles, look at it. Start from Judah. Go ahead.
And Judah begat Perez.
Judah begat who? Judah begat who?
Perez.
Judah begat who?
Perez.
Perez was the youngest, the second, but he came out of the womb first, because there was a pattern of the bloodline that firstborns don't make it in that bloodline. Okay? Perez, number one. Go.
Judah begat Perez and Zerah of Tamar.
That is one.
And Perez begat Hezron.
Two.
Hezron begat Ram.
Three.
Ram begat Aminadab.
Four.
Aminadab begat Nashon.
Five.
And Nashon begat Salmon.
Six.
Salmon begat Boaz of Rachab.
Seven.
And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth.
Eight.
And Obed begat Jesse.
Nine.
And Jesse begot David.
10. Now the Bible said, the bastard will not enter the congregation of the Lord even until the 10th generation. So for 10 generations, the family of Judah could not produce a king for Israel. Today, any injunction, any satanic injunctions that were placed on your bloodline against the firstborns or against the prosperity of your bloodline that has not allowed for your bloodline to rise into prominence and to remain in prominence today, by the authority of Jesus' name, from the heavenly perspective, today we overturn and we overrule and we revoke and reverse every satanic injunction that has been pronounced on you. It's about to be broken off of you. Now, this is what I want you to do. Why are you all here? Are you firstborns? How many of you are the firstborns? Okay, put your hands down, firstborns. If you are a brother, I want you all to look at me. If you're a man here, and your mother told you that she wanted a girl when she took seed of you, but you came out as a boy, I want you to wave at me. Just wave at me. This is very important. I need to deal with this thing. If you were supposed to be a girl and you came out a boy, according to your mother's desire, wave at me. Great. I need to help you out. Something needs to be done. Number two, if you're a brother here and you don't like women, but you like men, and you don't know why you do that, and you hate it and you don't like it, wave at me. Listen, these are brothers' meetings, so forget about being embarrassed. Nobody is here to embarrass you, brother. That's why we are men. Are you a brother or a sister? You a man and you dress like a woman. You know something? It is very easy and simple. It happens in a second. It started in mama's womb. You are not like that. Like Bishop said, you've done this, but that is not you. The real you is a man and not a woman. Now, man, I wish I had speed. Bring this brother up here. Don't worry about it. Just come up here. Let me help you out. Bring him up here. Let me help you out. Pray a simple prayer. Remove this. Don't worry about it. Just remove it. Yeah. Great. Look at me. You are handsome. I want you to say something with me. Say, I am happy to be born a boy. Close your eyes. Say again. Say, I'm happy
to be born
a boy. Say again with me. I'm happy
that I was born
A boy.
And not a girl.
I'm happy.
That I was born.
A boy.
And not a girl.
Now come here. Hold this for me. I'm going to do something right now. Close your eyes. Look at me. Before you close your eyes, look at me. I'm going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to take you back into mama's womb. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to play back the tape of your memory in the subconscious, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to edit out whatever was said, desired, and whatever was recorded in the subconscious that is influencing your actions to let you go. Will you allow me to do that? Lift up both of your hands. Close your eyes, and I want you to relax. Now, Father, I deploy the Holy Ghost to take my brother back to the mother's womb. Now, go back to the mother's womb. Let the child in you return to the state and the condition of the womb by the Spirit of God. And number two, rewind the tape of the programming in the subconscious. Rewind the tape now. Go back. Going. Rewind to the state in which she was in the womb, and let the things that were spoken, desired by mama, that is influencing his actions, the rejections that entered, edit it out. Every resentment against his personality and who he is, edit out. Spirits of every feminine spirit that entered you in the womb through the subconscious, edit out in the name of Jesus. And now rewind forward with the right information. You are a boy, and you are happy to be a boy. You are a man, and now in the name of Jesus Christ, I lose you now. This is what I'm going to do right now. I got some serious things to do. I need every brother here, I need all of you to go back to your seat for 2 minutes. You need to do that for me. I need to follow divine order, and then I can help you. Go back to your seat. I want everybody to sit down for 1 minute, please. When I came to Manpower, my hotel called me and said, you have a parcel, a Federal Express package at the front desk. There are certain procedures we have to follow. Say Jubilee. God showed me what to do. In closing the door, there are a few steps. Number one, we have to repent on the behalf of whoever did open that legal entry door for Satan in our bloodline. We must repent on their behalf, and then we must ask God for mercy. And mercy means exemption from judgment. So we need to employ the mercy of God to exempt us from the consequences of whatever action took place that opened that door to give Satan the legal entry point. The next thing we must do is we must demand from a heavenly perspective that the door that was opened legally in the bloodline be closed. Number three, we must bind the familiar spirit of the bloodline that is familiar with the strengths and the weaknesses of our bloodline. We must bind that strong man and demand that that strong man be released of his assignment against our bloodline. The fourth thing, we must make a new decree a new decree of a new beginning in the bloodline. Number five, we must give a jubilee offering. Say a jubilee offering. A jubilee offering is a figure of $50. And I did this when God showed me, and I did it in certain places, and the result is unbelievable. And I'm going to ask every brother here that believe that there is a particular pattern in your bloodline. It may not be everybody, but if you believe that there is a particular negative pattern in your bloodline, that even though you are saved and you are born again, Holy Ghost filled, these things are still happening and fighting in your bloodline, and you don't understand why they are happening, I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet, and I'm going to lead you to the four levels. And after that, I'm going to ask every one of you that do this prayer with me to make a jubilee offering. I want you to stand on your feet now. If you know that through the teachings you have heard, there is a particular pattern in your bloodline, that you see it in the life of your mother, it's been in the life of your father, in the life of your cousins, your uncles, and your bloodline, and this thing keeps on holding you back. It could be anger, it could be pride, it could be unforgiveness, it could be weakness, it could be laziness, whatever it is. But every bloodline here has a particular pattern in your bloodline that the enemy uses to gain access to you. And anytime you are about to go up, the enemy uses it to bring you down. I want you to stand on your feet. I'm not talking about firstborns or anybody with any particular problem or situation. I'm talking about patterns of the bloodline. It could be poverty. It could be financial indebtedness. It could be some kind of financial embarrassment. It could be that you never come into prominence and you are never the head. Always something tries to undermine you. Just before you get up, something cuts you down. It may be so many things. But whatever that pattern is, we can change it. Stand on your feet. All over this place. It's time to be sincere as men. Nobody is putting any tag on you, and nobody is calling you by any name. We are going past all that. We are dealing with issues and patterns of the bloodline. And I've shown you one of the greatest families in the Bible, how they have serious blood patterns of different kinds and types. And every one of us here have a blood type, a particular pattern of the bloodline in our lives. Stand on your feet now. I'm going to help you in prayer right now. All over this place, stand on your feet. I'm going to help you in prayer right now. This is what we're going to do. I want every one of you standing, I want you to listen to me and look at me right now. Number one, raise your right hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I position myself through the blood of Jesus in the heavens, in the throne room, to represent my bloodline. And I repent on the behalf of my ancestors, myself, directly or indirectly. I repent for anything that was done that gave the devil a familiar spirit, a legal entry point into my bloodline. I repent of it and I bring it to closure. In the name of Jesus, I seal the legal entry point in my bloodline. I close every opening and every door the enemy has to attack, to accuse, to sabotage, to subvert, to undermine, and to hinder me from going to the next level. I close that opening now by the blood of Jesus. I obtain mercy. I obtain mercy for my bloodline. In the name of Jesus, I obtain mercy, exemption from judgment, exemption from judgment, exemption from judgment. And now in the name of Jesus, I make a new decree in the heavenlies over the earth that from today the familiar spirit that is familiar with my family and my bloodline that has the responsibility from the devil to police my bloodline from today, that familiar spirit, the strong man of my bloodline, is released from his assignment and he's bound in the name of Jesus. I break your power over my bloodline and over me, and whatever you have stolen and robbed my bloodline, as I make my jubilee offering with $50, which is a sign of jubilee, I'm gonna be free. My bloodline is gonna be free through my jubilee seed offering. I'm going to demand that you pay back in the name of Jesus. Now, this is what I want to do. Keep standing. Don't clap. Please don't clap yet. Keep standing. I want every one of you here. This is very serious. This is very serious. I want every one of you here. Please don't mess with this. I'm asking you of a particular figure, because when God showed me this, I did it for my wife. I did it for all my four children. And I did it for some of my brothers and sisters. And from that day, the finances of each one of these people, things began to move and things began to turn. I want everybody, I'm not asking you to give a seed of $100 or whatever. I'm asking everybody here that did the prayer with me to take a seed of $50. Now, I haven't been asked to take an offering. I'm just telling you what the Spirit has given me, and I'm giving it to you. I want every brother, every man here, take a seed of $50 and lift it up. All over this place. All over this place. I want you to get an envelope. Every brother, if you don't have $50, go to somebody and say, help me out. Or if somebody has $30 or $20, work with them. Add your money, two or three people, add your monies together and make it 50, and let one hand lift up that 50 representing the three or the two. It's important, don't be left out. If you don't have 50, work with somebody. If they have 10, they have 20, they have 30, add it to. This is a physical act with prophetic consequences. It's a physical action.